From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde, in for Ross Reynolds. Happy Juneteenth. Historian Kenneth Davis joins us to talk about the historical significance of this day and about the upcoming 100th anniversary celebrations of the Battle of Gettysburg. Historian Kenneth Davis has written tons of books in the Don't Know Much About History series, including Don't Know Much About the American Presidents. Kenneth Davis, thanks so much for joining us again.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, David. Thank you. And first of all, a quick correction. We're at the 150th anniversary
of
the Battle of Gettysburg.
I can't believe I said 100th. Yes, 150th. Yes.
I remember the 100th, unfortunately. I actually was taken to Gettysburg in 1963 as a small boy. And one of the reasons I became a historian was that visit.
Oh, wow. Well, we're going to get to that in just a minute. But first, Juneteenth. I think some people are kind of scratching their heads. They don't know that much about it. What is Juneteenth?
Well, it's a word that was created out of the words June and 19th, because it was June 19th in 1865, after the Civil War was actually officially over, more or less. It had ended, of course, in April 1865. This was the first time that Union soldiers reached Texas, the furthest west of the Confederate states, and General Granger, a New Yorker, made an announcement in which he told the slaves of Texas that they were free. And this became, it was a shock, it was amazement. Of course, Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation had been made in January of 1863. It was a full 2 years and several months later now, and they had heard nothing of it. So they celebrated this day, taking the words June and 19th and turning it into a kind of folk grassroots holiday called Juneteenth. It was a day of liberation. It was a day of emancipation, a day to celebrate for them the end of slavery. This actually became a kind of folk holiday in many of the former Confederate states. As time went by, it was gradually forgotten.
How do people celebrate?
Well, in the early days of celebrating Juneteenth, it was very festive. Picnics, barbecues, rodeos were very popular, particularly in places like Texas. And this did spread throughout the Reconstruction South, especially as the former enslaved people started to move around the South, and some of them starting to head north even, people looking for their families, families that had been separated by slavery. And so this did become a day of jubilee for them. And it was a day of great celebration, and that's clear. And I'm sure the food was pretty good, especially in the early days. Of course, this never received any official recognition, not from the federal government and certainly not from the state governments, especially in the former Confederate states, where they weren't exactly celebrating emancipation.
You know, and there are celebrations here around the Puget Sound, but it's primarily celebrated. There are still people here who might not have heard of it. Where is it primarily celebrated?
Well, I think, unfortunately, it's thought of or considered an African-American holiday, which I think is unfair, and probably we should change our view of it, because really what more important event is there in American history after the Declaration of Independence itself than the ending of slavery in our history? We don't have a holiday to mark the Emancipation Proclamation in January of 1863, as I mentioned. We don't have a holiday to celebrate the 13th Amendment, which actually abolished slavery, of course. For those who have seen the Lincoln movie or remember their civics classes, the 13th Amendment was one of the three post-Civil War constitutional amendments, the Reconstruction amendments, and it ended slavery forever in America. But this holiday, this grassroots holiday, I think is an important one, because slavery isn't just for the end of slavery isn't just for one group of people. It is an important part of our history as Americans, and I think that this very spontaneous overflow of emotion that came about in Juneteenth of 1865 is worth remembering.
Why is it still relatively hidden history, do you think?
Largely, I would say, because it was a holiday that was not recognized by in any official way, and that has a lot to do certainly with the institutional racism in America for a very, very long time. Of course, it's really not until more than 100 years after the Civil War ended that the civil rights movement began to make any of the great strides it made into the 1960s and then into the 1970s. So this was not something that was certainly on the national radar. I think probably some people would also say, well, the civil rights movement got a holiday in the Martin Luther King birthday. And again, I think that's unfortunate. I think this is a day whether we get a day off for it or not, I think it's important to recognize the role that slavery played in American history. I think we sometimes forget how important it was politically, economically, socially, in so many ways at the time it happened and certainly for many decades afterwards.
We're talking to historian Kenneth Davis about today, which is Juneteenth. He's telling us about what the holiday's historical significance is. And part of this is a political story, right? Because today is not the day that slavery officially ended. Why today?
That's right. It, of course, as I mentioned, Lincoln announces the Emancipation Proclamation 150 years ago on January 1st, officially in 1863. That, of course, freed very few slaves in a tangible sense because it only applied to the Confederate states. It did not apply to Union states that had still had slaves. There were four of them. It did not apply to Confederate territory that was in Union control. So essentially, the Emancipation Proclamation is a tremendous psychological and political turning point in American history, but it had a very little practical impact on slaves. They weren't able to just get up and leave the plantation because Lincoln had made this proclamation. Of course, as I mentioned, the 13th Amendment finally abolishes slavery. But this Juneteenth celebration was a recognition by the people who were themselves being set free, the formerly enslaved people starting in Texas and then moving out across the former Confederacy, that their bondage was over. And there were even movements to buy parcels of land to create little emancipation parks in cities starting in Texas. But as the great diaspora of African Americans continued into the 20th century, as more and more African Americans moved north, this holiday, this celebration was really forgotten. Just the way as Memorial Day, which started out after the Civil War as Decoration Day, was largely forgotten by the turn of the century, and it was only with World War I that Memorial Day or Decoration Day came back into the national mindset. So these are key turning point holidays that come out of the Civil War that the ravages of time sort of let people forget. And obviously Memorial Day is now a national holiday. I don't know if Juneteenth will ever be accorded such status. 42 states, I believe, now mark it. They don't give it people a day off for it, but they mark it as a date. 42 states and the District of Columbia. So that it's gotten some traction, I think, but still a largely unknown event in American history, but one that deserves, I think, a little more attention.
We're talking to historian Kenneth Davis about Juneteenth, and actually we've got a caller on the line. Ben Young is calling us with some information about Juneteenth here in the Puget Sound area. Ben Young, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
So there are some celebrations around the Puget Sound. What can you tell us about it?
Snohomish County NAACP branch is holding its annual Juneteenth celebration on this year. We're observing it on June 22nd, Saturday, at Edmonds Community College from 11:30 to 5. At this event, we'll have free food, games. We have a newly appointed African American county executive that will be speaking. I don't know exactly what else you would like to know about the event. I have a whole bevy of things I can definitely tell you.
Yeah, let me just ask you personally, what's the significance of Juneteenth to you? Why are you celebrating?
For our event, we recognize it as a significant event because of the history of it, but the way that we observe it here at Snohomish County, in that the African American population is about 3%, we take it as a community celebration and invite the public out to celebrate in a picnic form fashion. And with that, we have an educational process to involve the religious community, as well as in this year, in fact, we're having the Islamic Society. They're going to do a 150-year history in conjunction with it, since this is the 150-year anniversary since the Emancipation Proclamation.
All right. Ben Young, thanks so much for telling us about that.
You're welcome.
And we'll have more information about that up on our website on the conversation page later today. Historian Kenneth Davis is still with us. We were talking about Juneteenth, but I also want to get to the upcoming 150th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. That's coming up, the original event, July 1st through 3rd, 1863. 7,500 people died, 51,000 casualties. Kenneth Davis, what's the historical significance of Gettysburg?
Well, of course, it's called by many people the turning point in the Civil War. I think that there's clearly the sense that it wasn't so much the turning point as I think the last gasp of the Confederacy in terms of trying to not win the Civil War, but at least force the Union to forsake the war and come to a peace table and let these two nations go their separate ways. Obviously, Abraham Lincoln had no interest in seeing that happen, as most people in the Union did not. That's how the Civil War started, not a war about slavery per se, but a war to preserve the Union. Of course, by July 1863, things had been going very badly for the most part for Union armies. This was Robert E. Lee, the Confederate general, who had actually been offered the job of commanding the Union armies by Lincoln before the war started, and said he could not raise his sword against his native Virginia. He actually then invades Pennsylvania, invades the North in an attempt to actually threaten Washington, D.C. And to go back and look at how perilously close Washington, D.C. was at times to being attacked, and who knows what might have happened had that happened. But Gettysburg, in fact, was finally a Union victory at tremendous cost, as you just mentioned. The loss of life and the casualties over 3 days were astonishing. But this was still not the end of the Civil War. It would go on for another almost two full years of very, very deadly, bloody, devastating fighting as Ulysses S. Grant, who eventually took command of the Union armies, pursues Lee into Virginia, and there are going to be 2 years of horrible fighting.
We're talking about the upcoming anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. It's the 150th anniversary of that event, and there's going to be a lot of historical reenacting happening, as I understand it, all over the country. What can you tell us about historical reenactors?
You know, I have tremendous admiration for most of the reenactors I've come across over the years because, David, they're not just people who dress up in costumes and have some fun. It's not a Halloween dress-up thing for them. They are actually people who become a particular character in most cases. In many cases, they are the descendants of the people they are portraying. So a great-great-grandson now might be portraying his ancestor and might have pieces of clothing he wore, might have letters he sent. So this is a very personal thing. And of course, they are very, very passionate about bringing this history to light, not only when it comes to the Civil War, but reenactors in almost every for every conflict we've been in, but the Civil War has a special passion. I have also spoken to these people, and they feel that the important thing that they do is keep history alive. It's one of the things I've tried to do in my books that don't know much about series is talk to people about history, not as a series of dates and battles, but the stories of what real people do in real places. And that's what reenactors are able to do to an extraordinary degree when you see them and speak to them. They are not just, as I said, guys and many women just dressing up to play a part. They are becoming a real person who actually did experience the Civil War.
Kenneth Davis, thanks again. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Happy Juneteenth.
Historian Kenneth Davis's books are the Don't Know Much About History series. One of those, the most recent, Don't Know Much About the American Presidents. He was talking to us today about Juneteenth, which is today. Happy Juneteenth. And also the historical significance of the Battle of Gettysburg. We're coming up on the 150th anniversary of that event pretty soon. The conversation is produced by Arwin Nix with Cameron Drews, Ali Ferguson, Andy Hurst, and Hannah Byrne. Bernard Ouellette is our engineer and ultimate leader. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde.